This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Welcoming Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, returned from his world-scale traveling through the Delta variant. And the Delta variant is everywhere, and anecdotes point to the fact that we don't know the end of this. So let us charge right into geopolitics with good news. Recently, Malcolm, you visited Morocco. Morocco is now one of the participants in the Abraham Accords. What does this mean for Morocco? What does it mean for the part of the Mediterranean basin, North Africa, watching Morocco and Israel work together? Good evening to you.
Good evening. And it certainly is very manifest in many ways. I had a phenomenal visit. It's a great country with great places to see, historic, current, places to rest, places to enjoy by Atlantic, the Mediterranean. You can see virtually everything there. And it's a country like every place else that I visited that is struggling with COVID and seeing increased cases. It was in Greece and Cyprus and other places there as well, and certainly throughout the region and around the world. The Abraham Accords, though, I think have brought about a psychological change and increasingly an economic change. The foreign minister of Israel will visit tomorrow in Morocco for several days. They are going to open an embassy in Morocco, just as Morocco reopened its embassy in Tel Aviv. They are going to have a trade delegation there that will look to expand the economic cooperation between the countries. The rest of North Africa, as you know, Tunisia, Algeria, Libya are in turmoil, and Morocco and Egypt are the sources of stability, both pro-West, and the king has been a very enlightened leader. They are facing an election September 9th, I think, and we will see how the Muslim Brotherhood does in that election. But the king, you know, has moved the country in very positive ways. We saw the expressions on the part of people and in the meetings about the optimism, concern about Turkey, Iran, all the other developments that we so often discuss. Obviously, the fires in the region are a matter of concern in Greece, Turkey, other countries as well. And you know, in Tunis, the government has been fired in an Ennahda government, and it seems to be welcomed by many of the countries, though it is a more moderate Arab party, political party, but they hope that this will bring an end to the politicization of Islamic parties. So again, turmoil, but a source of stability, an island of stability in Morocco. There are now three airlines flying weekly from Israel to Morocco, and Royal Air Morocco will be flying to Israel. I expect up to 200,000 people a year to come and visit Morocco and tens of thousands of Moroccans to visit Israel.
We go from the Western Mediterranean basin to the Eastern Mediterranean basin to big trouble in Lebanon. Malcolm, since we last talked, more rockets out of Bekaa into Israel. The IDF, IAF responded. And then oddly, the president of Lebanon, Aoun, chastised Israel for invading his country. And it was a puzzlement as to what his remarks were aiming to, considering his country is regarded as occupied by its citizens, occupied by Tehran. The last time I checked as well, there's not anything credible as a government in Beirut. Does that continue?
That absolutely continues. Owen himself has tried to get out of his position as president, but has been unable to because there's nobody to replace him. They have put in a new prime minister, the last in a whole series. They don't remain very long. The conditions there are terrible. We saw the demonstrations on the one-year anniversary of the explosion in the port and the failure of the government to hold anybody to account, to help rebuild, to provide assistance to the families. The economic conditions are terrible. People are very resentful of Hezbollah, and we see that they, in one place where they were firing rockets, as you know, there were 19 rockets fired into northern Israel 2 days ago, and the Israel retaliated with some airstrikes, but largely in open areas, because nobody wants really to see this escalate, and the UN has put pressure, the U.S. has put pressure to keep them, to keep the situation under control. But the UN peacekeeping forces detected the rocket launches from Lebanon and have discussed them. It's an escalation. And one of the rockets, in fact, had the advanced guidance systems that Iran has been providing. But the people, the Druze community from whose area, village, the fire took place, the Hezbollah fire, blocked the troops, blocked the Hezbollah troops, and tried to dismantle their rockets, and said, "Why are you doing using our land? Why are you making us the target? You fire from civilian areas." And they say, "No, it's distant." The Hezbollah now was put on the defensive about their about where they were placing it, and as you know, they and Hamas tend to always to launch from civilian areas in order to do fire on it so that they can be more critical of Israel. And the road to the village then was bombed so that they could not move. The Hezbollah couldn't really move their materials in and out on this mountainous road. And it shows that support by most assessments for Hezbollah is waning, and their inability to address the economic conditions and Iran's limited ability to provide funding as much as they did before. There is fuel and stuff coming from Iran today to Lebanon, but the situation overall is very unstable. The United States and UN have pressed Israel and Hezbollah to keep things contained. Nobody wants this big explosion, but obviously Israel can't afford to allow its civilian population to come under fire. And the reaction to the demonstrations in southern Lebanon against Hezbollah indicates how sensitive they are to it, and the fact that they publicly responded, meaning that they actually acknowledged these events taking place.
Moving east, the overland bridge to Tehran. We stop in Syria, Damascus. There are reports, Malcolm, that the Russians are deploying ground-to-air defense systems and in working with in a new fashion to defend the Assad regime. Does this tie into Tehran, or is this a geopolitic trading out of Moscow?
No, I think that this definitely ties in to both. Russia and Iran are doing a dance. They cooperate where it serves each side's purposes, and they fight when they don't agree. And for a long time, it was not in Russia's interest to see Iran build up. Now that it appears that they made a decision that they don't want to invest their troops, and yet they want to see the support there against other elements, and even Turkey being one of them. So they have activated recently the anti-aircraft system. It's operated by Russian soldiers, by Russian troops, from what we know. The G7 and others have sent strong messages to about Lebanon, and you know the French had tried to get them to improve the economic conditions, and that spills over into the Syria situation. Israel is changing its tactics because they don't want to put their planes at risk if Russia actually fires missiles, and they confirmed that missiles were fired for the first time. This is the first escalation by Hezbollah, and you know they easily can activate another front along the Syrian border. So we have a combination of factors at play. The Syrian doctor was arrested in Germany, and they documented the war crimes that they engage in. We're seeing a much more aggressive attitude towards holding to account people who have, you know, been involved in these terrible crimes against the people in Syria and the region. So we were going to see over the next weeks and months, I think, a continuation of some of the changes that have taken place. It's certainly a situation in flux and very sensitive about what happens if they decide to escalate. Russia restricting Israel's freedom of action with the use of its high-end air defense system has brought Israel to have to come up with new launches that will not involve aircraft.
We head farther east to Tehran. Since we last spoke, Ebrahim Raisi, the hanging judge, is now the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The routine daily provocations, such as meeting with Palestinian gangsters and making threats against France, Malcolm. France, he's being threatening. So at this point, what can you say about Raisi and the Iran deal in Vienna? Are these things compatible?
They are very much incompatible, and I think we see it with the delays of the Iranians at the table. You know, the United States is still pressing for additional talks and to try to get a deal in the hope that they could get a second deal as well that would deal with ballistic and on missiles. I think most realistic assessments are that that is not going to happen. We're not even sure the first deal could happen. The U.S. condemned not only the Hezbollah rocket attacks, but also the attack on the Mercer Street tanker in the Gulf, and blamed it on Iran, square on Iran. So did the EU in a very unusual move. And they say that it was done by drones. There were three launched. One of them actually hit and did considerable damage to the bridge and to the pilot's house and to other parts. The British ambassador took a very strong stand in their statements. The United States obviously did. And they say that as the tensions build up, the prospects for the deal go down. And, of course, Raisi himself is such a hardline extremist that there were not expectations that he would push for a new deal. He's just making the appointments for his own government. But remember now, we have immense demonstrations taking place in various sectors of Iran. It doesn't get coverage here, but there's a deadly crackdown, and yet the demonstrations in Khuzestan now have gone viral to Tehran and Karaj and Kermanshah and Isfahan and many other places. And the slogan they're chanting, no Gaza, no Lebanon, we will sacrifice for Iran, meaning that they don't want to be involved in Tehran's support for Hamas and Hezbollah and the other terrorists, but that they want to see a change in the government. And these demonstrations taking place in many places should be getting much more support from the West, but unfortunately, we're not seeing it. And also, Iran is looking at more severe attacks using cyber, and they have set up this whole system to be able to sink a cargo ship or a fuel pump at a petrol station. They have a particular interest in Western countries like the UK, France, and the US, and they found the documents compiled by a secret offensive cyber unit called called Shahid Kaveh, which is part of the IRGC, and they are creating a target bank right now, collecting data of potential targets that they can hit later on. So there's no evidence that Iran is moving towards a more peaceful era. The German intelligence chief, a former one, said that the deal should be dead. Nobody should go into the deal right now. At least 90,000 people died of COVID, and that's the numbers that they acknowledge, and everybody believes it's really much higher.
Raisi, Malcolm, just a moment here about Ebrahim Raisi. Is he a possible successor to the Supreme Leader? There's gossip about it, but I can't measure it.
Yes, I do think he's considered, and he's positioning himself to be a successor, even though I think the Supreme Leader wants a son. You know, a lot will depend on what happens and whether he's able, what kind of leadership he's able to demonstrate. Can he pull the country together? Will the dissension that we see, which is, and it's much more severe than we have time even to go through, and there are water shortages,
right,
the deteriorated economic conditions. Raisi wants to be the successor, and there will be competition for it, but he's a powerful figure and, you know, a very sinister one.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, returns from his travels. Return to Indiana. Hohenlein next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.